14-8-4. The field shrinks quickly in the National Football League playoffs. This is the Todd Wright Survivor Football Podcast, where we will talk and continue to talk about NFL games, postseason spreads, totals, trends, etc. Brandon Legal Group pays for these podcasts, so you don't have to. They are a full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. For a free consult, visit BrandonLegalGroup.com or call 813-902-3576. I am simply a paid non-attorney spokesperson asked to remind you, if you are an adult male residing in the state of Florida and you continue to pay permanent alimony is no longer law in the state of Florida and hasn't been law for over a year and a half. It was eliminated from Florida law by Governor Ron DeSantis July 1st, 2023. Brandon Legal Group can help you alleviate or potentially eliminate future financial obligation due to permanent alimony. Give them a call or click the box for a free consult at BrandonLegalGroup.com. Again, their number is 813-902-3576. That's just one service they offer. They are your full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. My email is right.todd@yahoo.com, right.todd@yahoo.com. Before we turn the page towards this weekend's games, we're recording this at lunchtime, Thursday afternoon, Eastern time. Wanted to wait a little bit. I'm hoping to get this posted by Friday in advance of the two games Saturday, two games Sunday, and now we have the late National College Football title game on Monday. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that here because it's a college game. But this this is your last big weekend of football, so get everything out of it you can. In terms of tiebreakers on if you're going to do something for a game or not, do it, because two big games on Saturday, two big games on Sunday, college national title game on Monday. After that, you have three meaningful football games left until we get to Labor Day. So factor that all in. As much as we enjoy this, it's coming to an end. So get everything out of it you can this weekend. If you know, just, well, I'll do it next weekend, or there'll be other games. We're running out of games. So last weekend, let's just talk sort of big picture here. Let me first correct something where I misspoke on rookie quarterbacks winning NFL playoff games. Russell Wilson was the last rookie quarterback to win an NFL playoff game on the road until Jaden Daniels did it in Tampa Bay. The list is very short of rookies who have done it. And the interesting part of that Russell Wilson win that I remember well, because I was in the area. I don't know why I didn't do both games. Granted, I was with my girlfriend at the time, and it was enough to get her to one game to travel to Baltimore, where we watched Ray Lewis's last home game in a Ravens playoff win against Andrew Luck and the Colts. The later game was just over in Landover, as RG3 had the Redskins in the playoffs as a rookie against Russell Wilson as a rookie in the Seahawks. It was a 14-0 or 14-3 lead, something like that. Early, RG3 goes to reach for a loose ball on the ground. His knee goes the wrong way. He plays through it for quite some time before they turn to Kirk Cousins. Russell Wilson rallies the Seahawks. Seahawks win that game. That was the last rookie to win on the road in the NFL playoffs until Jaden Daniels came into Tampa Bay and beat the Buccaneers. Because most recently, rookie quarterback just winning a playoff game was last year in C.J. Stroud, and Stroud did it again to open the playoffs, as the Texans often do, with the first game in a game that the Chargers failed to make a bigger statement early. Settling for a couple of dickers and allowing Houston to sort of feel their way into the game before Herbert got erratic. Granted, his protection wasn't good. Some balls went off Charger hands. and Houston got traction, got Mixon going, got Collins into the end zone just before halftime, and things started to go the Texans' way. And not a lot of things have gone the Texans' way this season, but they win their opening playoff game. So they were one of three underdogs that won. And what I found interesting, and I sort of poked around on this to people I respect, like Patrick Everson of VegasInsider.com, great Twitter follow, Gil Alexander from VEASAN. I was on his show last week, hosted Numbers Game, 10 to noon Eastern time, 7 to 9 a.m. Pacific weekdays on the Vegas Stats and Information Network. You can also listen on VEASAN.com. I think they're just getting back on SiriusXM. We had three prohibitive favorites last weekend that all won and covered. In no particular order, Baltimore, Buffalo, Philadelphia. Then we had three field goal-ish favorites or less that all lost outright. In no particular order, Chargers, Buccaneers, Vikings. Asking Patrick, asking Gil, asking others thinking about it myself, is there something there? Is there something we can take out of why the big favorites won comfortably without much sweat and the short favorites didn't? Was it we know, and we're getting some of that again this week because Patrick Everson has quoted some sportsbook management people as saying, we know we're going to get the parlays and the teasers on combinations of Chiefs, Lions, and Eagles. And he quoted some similar people last week about the same thing with Ravens and Bills. It's, okay, how high do we feel we have to go to protect ourselves here before we're giving away too much? So I just thought that was interesting, that the big favorites all won comfortably and covered. The field goal-ish favorites all lost outright. So as we turn the page to this week, and the only home team to lose, granted the Rams didn't technically play at home, the only home team to lose last week were the Buccaneers, mentioning the road win for Jaden Daniels. So we advance to the four games in the divisional round. We start with Chiefs-Texans, and this kind of feels like Baltimore last week, Buffalo last week. How high will the books make the number to protect themselves, knowing that people are going to play the Chiefs like they played the Ravens and the Bills last week? We have to remind ourselves, the Chiefs haven't covered a lot. In that run to 15-1 before they didn't need to play the Week 17 game with key starters, the Chiefs were very bad ATS, yet they won all those games. Part of the reason is because they don't score a lot of points. This year's Chiefs team, I don't think they ever got to 30, because I'm still reminded that there were, you know, a group of like four teams in the NFL that didn't get to 30 points this year. Three of them are drafting, I think, in the top 8 or 10 of the draft, and then they're the Chiefs, who may go to a third straight Super Bowl or win it. So as we speak, as of lunchtime Thursday, the Chiefs are an 8.5-point choice against the Texans. Modest movement from 8 to 8.5. Although, I guess I see it some places it did open at 8.5. The total has moved down slightly, which has been a trend from last week. Most of the totals moved down. I think only one total moved up last week in some of the betting. I have been of the belief, and most of you know this, that I don't think the Chiefs win three straight Super Bowls. So that means they need to lose this week, next week, or in 2 weeks. I don't think the Texans are the team to do this. That's just hard for me to get my head around. And I would feel differently if the Texans had had a better year and it even had a better game against a better opponent. The Texans win against the Chargers seemed to speak more to what the Chargers didn't do than what the Texans did. So I think the only thing you can really do here, and it's chalky, is what most people are doing, which is you play the Chiefs in parlays, you play the Chiefs in teasers, so you can lower that number from 8.5 and move it down. I don't think there's value in a Texans money line of plus 340 or more. Because what are you doing? You're basically saying the Texans are going to end this run. Now, we're not saying the Chiefs are done. I still wonder if this is it for Andy Reid. I do. So they would look different without Andy Reid. I'm not going to get into what the future is for Kelce because we know that wasn't a great year. Last year wasn't a great year. He had a great playoff. Mahomes isn't done. So there's still an obvious future here for Mahomes with the Chiefs, but they're trying to do the three Super Bowls in a row, winning three Super Bowls in a row. Teams have gone to three Super Bowls in a row. At some point in the Todd Wright Toddcast, I'm going to talk about what the Dolphins did before and after the 72 perfect season and how that gets overlooked. But yeah, I think the only way you can go here is you can take the Texans and the points if you want to. You can. As a matter of fact, you can tease that up if you want. But in terms of, I don't really want to touch the spread here. But sure, I think the Chiefs are going to win the game. It's hard for me to not envision the Chiefs winning this game for a lot of reasons. I just don't think the Texans are the team to end the Chiefs' run at winning three straight Super Bowls. So let's move on from there to the Saturday late game where the total is moving higher and higher. At the time I'm reading Patrick Everson's column on VegasInsider.com, I see it at, has he updated this? Yes, 55.5, up from 53.5. Already talked that once this gets to 10, because it opened at Lions 10.5. I didn't see it that big when it opened. My mistake, because Patrick's better at this and talks to more people than I do. And then it came down and now it's going back up. So you have the Lions as a big favorite. So as big as Baltimore was last week, as big or bigger than Buffalo was last week, a little bigger than Kansas City this week. And again, remember, Kansas City just didn't cover a lot this year. They haven't scored a lot of points. But the Lions, yeah, I also am of the belief, and have been for a while, that Dan Campbell didn't learn anything from why his team lost the NFC title game last year. And at times, Gil Alexander even talks about this. Does Dan Campbell try to be Dan Campbell too much? And there's no one in the Lions organization who has done an intervention on him saying, Dan, you can't do that. You know, it's like when these networks throw up the analytics, 4th-and-2, go. There's so many things that they're not factoring in that need to be considered. Is it okay to go on 4th down? Sure it is. Is it okay to go on 4th down rather than kick a field goal? Sure it is. But it depends on the situation. So many things that are happening in the game. Intangibles, time, score, timeouts, various other things that are happening. It's not one way. I did attend Washington's win against Tampa Bay. And acknowledging what I've said all along, that as long as Todd Bowles is coaching the Bucs, they have a ceiling and they're not a Super Bowl contender. That's because Bowles has a defensive background. Bowles has no involvement in the offense. And Bowles' defense has been sliding downward rather than getting better. Bowles couldn't force, couldn't stop Washington. Did stop him close to the goal line in the 4th quarter, then the Baker fumble. But obviously Dan Campbell went 5 times on 4th down, converting on 3 of them. Could Dan Quinn out Dan Campbell, Dan Campbell? Is this Dan Campbell meeting his match? Forget the quarterback matchup with the immobile Jared Goff against the young Jaden Daniels. Has Dan Campbell here run into a coach who's going to be more aggressive, reckless, careless than even Dan is? And what does it mean? This big spread feels different to me than the big spread in Baltimore-Buffalo last week, where we even sort of talked about, you look big picture at how the playoffs play out, and I even said to you, can you really imagine Baltimore and Buffalo not playing next week? This feels different. I don't think it's a given that the Lions host the NFC title game next week, which means they win this game. I don't think that's a must. I did say before the first Sunday night game of the year, the winner of Lions-Rams would host the NFC championship game. That's one game away from happening. But it's the respect I have for Daniels, the way Dan Quinn is coaching, what I just saw against the Buccaneers, the Lions, you know, what the Lions defense did to win the number one seed against Minnesota doesn't look as impressive now because the Rams did to them the same thing. You know, and the Rams should get credit for that, but Minnesota did that in back-to-back games. So I tend to think Washington can win this game, and the point spread is too big, and the money line is quite a value at anywhere from 3 to 4 to 1. Sunday early, Rams and Eagles. Eagles have had some movement. Looks like this game's going to settle. I don't know. Do you find it interesting that by the time we get to kickoff, the Eagles may be favored by more against the Rams than against the Packers? I know the Packers had a better record. But the Rams are a better team. Most of you know how strongly I have felt about the Rams for a while now. And at your two most important spots, head coach and quarterback, you have two guys who just won the whole thing 3 years ago. And here they are. With a defensive coordinator and a young, active defense that can make some things happen. That has gotten better and better as the year has gone on. I'll say this about the Eagles. And I have friends who are Eagles fans, and I've heard their complaints for years. But the Eagles are so talented. I mean, they may be the most talented team in the NFL. When you just look at the roster, they have talent all over the place. Hall of Fame type talent. Pro Bowl talent. There's a reason why this Eagles team has gone to more conference title games than anyone else in the NFC in the 21st century. I think at times Eagles fans may get frustrated that it isn't flashier, that there's something about it that doesn't pass the sight test. I mean, they won, what, 10 or 11 games in a row this year. They had that huge winning streak early last year before the bottom fell out. And it just looked like the team wasn't invested or was tired, mentally or physically. Got A.J. Brown reading a book on the sideline. It doesn't look right, but again, they're so talented, which is why they're one game away, and it's a home game, one game away from going to a conference championship. So I have respect for the Eagles. And it wouldn't surprise me at all. I'll put it this way. I think the winner of this game is going to win the Super Bowl. I think the only other team I feel strongly about that might win the Super Bowl is Buffalo. I don't think the Chiefs are winning the Super Bowl. I don't think the Lions are winning the Super Bowl. And I don't think Lamar Jackson's winning a Super Bowl. So that eliminates a big three. So it doesn't leave much, but it leaves some really good teams out there and experienced quarterbacks like Josh Allen and the two in this game with Eagles and Rams. So I think grabbing a futures ticket on who you think wins this game to win the NFC, to win the Super Bowl is smart. I'll take the Rams with the points and outright. But in the very next transaction, I might also take a ticket on the Eagles to win the NFC or win the Super Bowl. Now, if Jalen Hurts wins this one and next week, he will do what no one has done since Jim Kelly, which is lose your Super Bowl debut and get back to play again. Ironically, if it's Jalen against Jared Goff, it's guaranteed we have our first return of a quarterback who's lost his Super Bowl debut. So yeah, I kind of like both teams in this game. I'll play the Rams this week, but I'm willing to play the long game on the Eagles because I think the winner of this game wins the NFC and can win the Super Bowl, with the only other team I think can win the Super Bowl being Buffalo, They've already beaten Kansas City this year. They didn't beat Baltimore earlier this year. I get that. I at least allow for the possibility that Buffalo could put Baltimore behind the chains and we see the playoff Lamar, who has lost four times before, try to do too much, make bad decisions, minimizes Derrick Henry. This game for many is, what's the right word? It is a resolution. It's a vote on, do you like Josh or do you like Lamar? I like Josh. Josh just hasn't been able to beat Mahomes for the most part. You know, I've compared that to Mahomes is Michael Jordan and Josh Allen is Karl Malone, or Josh Allen is Patrick Ewing, or Josh Allen is Charles Barkley. I like Buffalo. They opened as a favorite. You have the Lamar backing, which is why Lamar is going to win another MVP. You have the Lamar backing that has moved this through the number and allowed the Ravens to be always dangerous in the playoffs, a road favorite. How'd that work out for the Chargers? How'd that work out for the Vikings? Okay, the Rams weren't at home, but the Vikings weren't either. So, yeah, I like the Bills here. I like them outright. You're not getting much, but with such a small number. So, again, we sort of look back, and that's the only small number. And in the small numbers, the underdogs won. And in the big numbers, the favorites covered. Now, in that case, Detroit does – Detroit advances, Kansas City advances, and yeah, the Eagles would advance. And at this point, I'm telling you, I like the Eagles, but I like the Rams more this week. But I like this game. I like these teams. I like the spot that they are in. So, quick recap. Like the Chiefs to win. Don't expect them to win by a huge number. They haven't done that all year. They don't need to do that. I just don't see the Texans as the team that ends their run at three Super Bowl wins in a row. Yeah, I'll take the Commanders to upset Detroit. I just think the odds are too good. And that in the battle of aggressive Dan coaches, it's an interesting dynamic here. So I'll take Washington in the points and Washington outright. Love the winner of the Rams-Eagles game to win the NFC, potentially win the Super Bowl. For this week, I'll take the Rams as the underdog in that game. And I like Buffalo. However you want to play it, I like Buffalo. Which would leave us with Buffalo at Kansas City next week in a game I think Buffalo could win. If they're not going to win this one, when are you? And then next week you would have the winner of Rams-Eagles going to Detroit, unless the Commanders can pull the upset, then the Commanders would go to Philly, or, I don't know, where would they play Commanders-Rams? I guess depends on the Fires. You would think the league might want to have that game in LA also as a way to do some things to help locals bring attention to the plight of people impacted, the LA firefighters. They might want to do more and are probably already thinking about that in case the Rams would host an NFC championship game. I think they'd want that game in LA. rather than relocating that one to Arizona as well. What do I have any total thoughts for you? Let's see. Ingles. No, not really. No, I that's enough. I mean, this thing has already run way too long. I apologize, but just wanted to give you a lot of different thoughts, and you're welcome to email me yours at write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. The Todd Wright Survivor Football Podcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. Enjoy the games this weekend. Yeah, I do like Ohio State in the national title game against Notre Dame, just throwing that out there. But enjoy all five games this weekend. Get near the end of the season. You're only going to have three more meaningful football games when you wake up on Tuesday to enjoy until Labor Day. Talk to you next week.